We're taking conservatives to work and liberal progressive Democrats to task for their dysfunctional politics so that we can make Washington livable again. And one of those things is going to involve something that's on your November general election ballot, no matter where you live in Washington. This is one you'll get to vote on. A lot of the stuff that's coming up on the November election ballot, it's fairly specific. It's state legislature, state House, state Senate, and not everybody gets to vote on those things. It's very specific, prescribed by the legislative district where you happen to live and vote. But this one is the one and only statewide ballot measure that was certified to appear on the Washington ballot for the November 4th, 2025 general election ballot. So it is the following that I'll explain to you. And a little bit of a spoiler alert here. It really needs a translator because it is written in government-ese language to keep voters, I think, as confused as possible or in the dark about what's going on here. So here's the ballot measure as it's written. A constitutional amendment to allow the long-term services and supports trust fund to be invested in stocks and equities was placed on the ballot by the state legislature. Now, please allow me to translate. That means the long-term care payroll tax that you and I are forced to surrender part of every paycheck that we earn needs more money, and Democrats in the Washington legislature want to invest your tax money, my tax money, into stocks and mutual funds to generate more money off of your taxes. Now, the kicker to all this is that the Democrats proposing this adjustment are the same ones that routinely object to having pensions or Social Security switched to stocks and other equities as a possibly way to generate more money for some of these things that are going on with your pension, your retirement, and or your Social Security. So joining me here on The Morning Ride to talk about this is Washington State Republican Party Chair and State Representative Jim Walsh from Aberdeen. So, Representative Walsh, did that summary...
I'm a smooth legislator.
Did that summary stay on point?
Pretty good, Phil. This is a constitutional amendment. So, a state constitutional amendment, of course.
Right.
So, whenever we deal with a state constitutional amendment, we need to really take a look at it, talk about it, make sure we know what's going on with it. Now, here's the background. Generally, when there are government programs, state government programs, some of it applies to federal too, as you said, the monies in the program have to be managed very conservatively. The idea is our government benefit program should not be out there taking high-risk investment positions which could go upside down or go sideways and lose the money in some risky investment. The money is supposed to be managed in a very conservative way, so there's no risk or very little risk in the investments and what the money's doing while it's waiting to be paid out to people who make claims in government programs.
There we go. Make claims, yes.
This one has to do with the so-called Washington CARES Act. That's the state required long-term care benefit program. And long-term care, remember, think in terms of being nursing home care. It does some other things too, kind of the visiting angels type income care, but it's mostly nursing home care for when people are older or when they're disabled. And the thing to remember about that long-term care government program, state government program, is it's not a great benefit. It doesn't really pay a great deal of money to you for a family member for nursing home care. What it really is designed to do is take some of the financial burden off of Apple Care. Apple Care, our state Medicaid program, also pays for nursing home care in certain situations. But Apple Care, the state Medicaid program, has been paying out more than it can afford for nursing home care. So the government, state government, created this additional program paid for by a separate payroll tax that takes some of the financial burden off of Apple Health Medicaid for nursing home care. It's not the transfer is not a very great deal for individual people, but it's great for Apple Health. It takes a big chunk of the burden off of Apple Health. The problem is the transfer is insolvent. The payroll tax taken out of your paycheck is not enough to cover even the meager benefit of Washington CARES Act. And so they've got to find some other ways to try to make more money out of the program. And they could do it a couple of ways. They could increase the amount they're taking out of your paycheck, which they also plan to do, or they can allow the program to invest in higher risk investments to try to make more money while it is in the government's hands. That's what this is about.
Basically playing the stock market is kind of what it revolves around.
Play the stock market, buy, you know, get into hedge funds, do derivatives, do whatever. And in order to do that, there needs to be a state constitutional amendment, because our state constitution generally forbids high-risk investments for government programs, for taxpayer money that's in government programs. And I like that. I think the current limits on how the government can play the stock market are a good idea, because when the government starts being, you know, like some hedge fund and trying to invest in high risk, high reward investments, a lot can go wrong. They can make honest mistakes and lose the money. They can get involved in investments where their friends are managing the investment, and the government should not be doing, you know, making those kind of investment calls.
Yeah, is that delineated in any of this proposal that's on everybody's statewide ballot coming up on November 4th this year? Who would be kind of selecting where these extra investments would go? Is that delineated? Is that just the state treasurer or something like that?
Correct. It's not explained very clearly in the language of the proposed amendment to the Constitution. It's not. The treasurer would be part of it, but the treasurer often operates at the instruction of agencies. And the agencies, there's a special agency that we set up under the State Department of Social and Health Services, DSHS, that manages this specific long-term care nursing home benefit program. So the senior bureaucrats at that agency would be making some of the calls, and the treasurer would be involved too. But those mechanics are less important than just the idea of, why are we letting a program that's already got fiscal solvency problems engage in higher risk, in theory, higher reward investments? It can't keep its current house in order. So why are we allowing it to make riskier investments? It's not a good idea, in my opinion.
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to a campaign basically a year ago. This was one of the statewide initiatives that was on the ballot last year to get out from underneath this forced obligation to take some of your paycheck every 2 weeks that you get paid. This was the obligation that Jay Inslee and the legislative Democrats in Olympia forced everybody into if you didn't get your own long-term care insurance policy, that you were going to be subjected to this payroll tax. So a lot of people kind of got forced into this, didn't really completely understand what was going on, didn't have time to even attempt to do the opt-out part, but they were still going to be forced to pay a bunch of money into a long-term care policy. And there are a lot of statistics that say the chance of you needing a long-term care policy are pretty low, particularly if you're generally healthy and you generally take care of your health. I know that I've cited one here on KVI on previous shows here that came out of the University of Pittsburgh. And it basically said, if you take care of yourself, you eat well, you do a little bit of exercise, you're generally healthy, your need for a long-term care policy is really, really low. Conversely, if you've got chronic health problems, then it would benefit you to look into getting a long-term care policy. But the Democrats and Governor Inslee never really pointed any of that out, never really gave anybody an option. They just said, this is what we're doing, and you're going to be in it, or you're going to have to get your own private plan, and then you're going to have to pay out more money for that private plan, whether or not you end up using a long-term care policy or not. So this whole situation has kind of been riddled with dysfunction from the state legislative level and then Governor Inslee's level. And now they're asking for the voters to kind of approve some tweaks, as you just pointed out, because it's already fraught with problems.
Yeah, this long-term care insurance used to be something you could buy from an insurance company.
Yeah, right.
But once the state mandated a state-run version of this, the private insurance companies really don't make it available anymore in Washington state. So even if you wanted to buy private long-term care insurance now, it's not impossible to get, but it's very difficult to get because the insurance companies all say, well, wait a minute, the state's got a mandatory program. Just you're in that, just use that. But again, the thing to remember is the Washington CARES Act, this long-term care benefit program that you've got to be part of now through a payroll tax deduction, it's not a great benefit. It's got a lifetime total benefit cap of about $36,000, $37,000. And if you have like a family member in a nursing home, you know that's like 2 or 3 months of nursing home care. It's not really long-term care. Yeah. And then under the state program, after that money's used up, you're on your own. Really what you are in most cases is people have to go on Medicaid after that. And they apply for Apple Health, they apply for Medicaid, and Medicaid checks to make sure you don't have any hidden money. And if the older person is broke, they approve them to go on Apple Health, on Medicaid, and then Medicaid pays the nursing home benefit. So remember, this so-called long-term care benefit program, it's not really a good insurance policy by itself. It's just like a kind of deductible for Medicaid. It takes $37,000 bucks off of Medicaid, so Medicaid doesn't have to pay that. It's paid for by this separate payroll tax. And then after a person's used up that benefit, then they go on Medicaid. This is not a great solution. Really, it's a little bit of three-card Monty. It's just shifting the financial burden around in a way that kind of hides its cost. And then this new program that you're going to be voting on this November says, yeah, sure, take the money that's being held in trust for people to use for nursing home care and let the state government play the stock market with that. And I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's just really disconcerting. But the fact that this is up for a vote is another admission, I think, by the Democrats in the state that they've created a program that forces people into paying a tax or buying a product to avoid paying a tax. And they have created a system that doesn't look like it's working very well. And I think that's being about as diplomatic as possible, it's really a whole bad idea to begin with. All right. Representative Walsh, Chairman Walsh, thank you for explaining that. I have one more story I want to try and ask you about that revolves around Governor Bob Ferguson and an executive order that he has ended up signing here in the last few days. But it has to do with something called a project labor agreement. Let me try and summarize a little bit from a news story I saw in the Wenatchee World News website out of Wenatchee, Washington. It says builders in North Central Washington say a new executive order signed by Governor Ferguson could make it harder for small companies to compete. The executive order requires project labor agreements, or PLAs, on state-funded construction projects costing more than $35 million. And Ferguson basically says this is something that will prevent wage theft. So employers that forget to pay or refuse to pay or sneakily don't pay or try and hide payment to employees, it will ensure fair pay, reduce work stoppages, and then encourage diversity in the construction workforce. I don't know how he arrives at that last conclusion, but the one that sticks out to me is this work stoppages thing. So Ferguson's basically saying these PLAs are a collective bargaining agreement to set employment terms for specific construction projects above $35 million. But it would reduce work stoppages, so then that way we don't get behind on a project. But what I find strange is Governor Ferguson is silent about work stoppages when it comes to teacher strikes, and there have been plenty when he was attorney general. There were two in Clark County here in the last couple of weeks that delayed the start of schools down in Clark County. So why isn't he concerned about work stoppages that way, but he is when it comes to a construction project? That's what I can't get my mind around.
It's a good point. PLAs, project labor agreements, have something to do with a concept in labor negotiations called prevailing wage. And basically, the concept is that certain projects, usually government building projects, have to pay a certain wage. The contractors who build the project have to agree to pay a certain wage to the workers on the project. It's a longstanding thing in government contracting. It probably isn't great in the long term, but it's a standard practice. Okay, fine. What happened was in the last legislative session, last couple really in Olympia, certain labor groups wanted this agreement that the governor just did by executive order put into state law. And the state legislature, even the Democrats in the state legislature, said, "Yeah, it's an expansion of these project labor agreements. It's an expansion of prevailing wage. We don't really think it's urgent. It's not necessary right now. We're not sure what it helps or if it hurts." So the legislature didn't act on it, and so the governor is doing by executive order something that the legislature didn't pass into law. This is always a bad idea, Phil. The governor should not be making, the executive branch should not be making law or policy. They should leave that to the legislature, and the executive branch, the governor, is in charge of implementing the law or policies that the legislature makes. That's the separation of powers. But we've seen a lot lately where if certain groups friendly to the governor, and this applied to Inslee and now Ferguson, if they don't get what they want from the legislature, they just go to the governor and say, well, just do it by edict, do it by mandate, make an executive order and do it. Yeah. And that's what's going on here. I agree with your skepticism. I don't think that this policy is going to improve anything. And the diversity part is almost a joke. It doesn't help diversity at all. It makes projects more expensive. Because by rule now, not law, but rule, the contractors have to pay higher wages. You know, why is the governor trying to negotiate labor agreements for contractors? Let the contractors do that. Let the contractors negotiate their labor agreements. Let them bid on building projects based on their cost of labor and goods. Let the market decide how much projects cost to build. Yeah. When the governor gets in here and tries to fix costs, and anytime the government at any level tries to fix costs, it creates inefficiency. It makes projects harder to do, not easier. So everything that Ferguson said in that press release is wrong, basically. Yeah. Just about everything you said is wrong. This action he took, this executive order, is going to make government projects more expensive, and it's going to make them harder to get implemented. And It absolutely, you're right. Given his silence about teacher strikes, which are illegal, this sort of sanctimonious stuff about how he wants to make, you know, projects easier to do is just fake. It's so hypocritical. It's phony.
Would this PLA stuff apply to government and non-government related projects, or was this executive order just strictly related to government related stuff?
Well, it theoretically could expand it into some private contracts too. That's the long play goal.
And then you
the
get into
the long-term goal of the far left in Olympia is to put these project labor agreements, which generally apply only to government contracts, into private sector projects too. So far that has not happened broadly, and this executive order is pretty narrow, but their long-term goal is definitely to fix labor costs in all projects, government and non-government. Okay.
And then you get into how that impacts the cost of living here and the cost of construction, the affordability that goes along with the ultimate cost of construction is going to get passed along to whoever wants to buy or occupy that property. All right.
A house or an apartment building. Yeah. And there's no secret that Ferguson and his supporters, they don't want private building to happen. They want all housing to be state government owned and built housing. And that's not America, Phil.
The Washington State Republican Party Chair, State Representative from Aberdeen, Jim Walsh. He's the smooth legislator joining me here on The Morning Ride. Thank you for all your perspective on both of these situations. And everyone be aware of this statewide ballot measure about the long-term care payroll tax, although it doesn't mention any of the long-term care payroll tax on the ballot. But
right.
Now you've been educated.
No,
at least you'll know a little bit about
in
it.
The legislature, and I recommend everybody vote no on that one.
There's Jim Walsh's suggestion for you on The Morning Ride. Have a great weekend. Thanks for your extra time today.